You guys ready to do this?
Welcome to the Cap Space Wins Cups podcast.
Sport mode. Good news ahead. Here's a break. It's Bo Hornman. Beam on the stick. Scores. Game winner for the captain. Scores. Chris Tanev from the point has a series winner for Vancouver.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cap Space Wins Cups podcast, the post-game edition. Here on the Area 51 Sports Network, I am your host, Hassan Ahmed. I am joined alongside, as per usual, my twin brother, Asan Ace Ahmed. Ace, how's it going, buddy?
Good, man. How's it going?
You got Hussein joining us as well. Hussein, how's it going, Chief?
What's up, boys?
And our man, Andy, joining us. Andy, how's it going, dude?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, man. Good. Obviously, Canucks drop a game 5-3 to the Edmonton Oilers here. We just wrapped that one up here. Vancouver came out to a commanding 3-0 lead. Pettersson opens the scoring, followed by JT Miller. Kuzmenko gets his first to the Canuck. The Oilers come storming back. Dreisaitl, McDavid has a hat trick. Nurse has one as well. So it's an all-around rough night for Vancouver. But just wanted to get your guys' initial thoughts on the game. Obviously, I think a lot of people are going to point to the first power play goal Edmonton scored, where there was an obvious high-sticking call missed on Quinn Hughes. Kind of seemed like the turning point of the game. Andy, what'd you make of it?
Yeah, for me, the biggest thing is how bad the digital ads look on TV. It's very distracting to watch the game with those. But in terms of the actual play on the ice, you know, I think it's pretty much what I expected. Like, the forwards looked dominant. Kuzmenko looked really good. The defense was, you know, very subpar outside of Quinn Hughes, who I don't think had a have a bad game, but it also wasn't his you know, best game he's ever played either. So good forwards, bad defense, kind of what I expected.
Same original initial thoughts of the game.
Yeah, Andy nailed a lot of what I was thinking there as well. I really like the forward lines. I had some questions about that Garland, Podkolzin, and Horvat line going into the game, but honestly, for the first two periods there, I really liked what was going on. I feel like the Canucks kind of just started sitting back once they got that 3-0 lead. And, I mean, that's something we've seen them do in years past, especially last year under Travis Green. It was a big problem that they wanted to just, you know, try to trap it up. But if the other team has Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, let me tell you something. Three goals is never enough against those guys. You need six or seven, honestly, the way those guys play. So I would have liked to see them keep trying to push the pace in the second half of the second period there. And even going into the third, I felt like they were just on their toes.
Right on. I can see a few more people trickling to join. If you do want to speak and give your thoughts on the game, feel free to request here, and we'll get you unmuted and give you can give your thoughts on the game as well. And or if you have a question for us, feel free to shoot it up in there. Yeah, I think you guys kind of touched on the major talking points for me. For me, power play kind of killed the Canucks here. You go 1-for-8 with that many opportunities. The Canucks were, you know, doing a great job drawing a lot of penalties. You know, obviously JT Miller sets up Kuzmenko with an easy tap in on one of those, but it was generating some okay looks at times, I guess, but on the whole, you know, 1-for-8 on your power plays is not a recipe for success. You have to find a way to find it back in the net more, especially if you're going to put away a very prolific Oilers team that obviously has Stanley Cup aspirations this year, and you know, you can't be blowing 3-0 goals, 3-0 leads like that. On top of that, you look at a bunch of missed chances. I mean, Miller could have had a hat trick himself tonight. Horvat, I don't know how many chances he missed. Podkolzin was all over the ice, feeding him a lot of good opportunities. I look at Miller and Horvat especially tonight and be like, you know, those guys had chances that they should have put in the back of the net. Andy, I don't know what you thought about that.
Sorry, yeah, I was just getting myself unmuted. Was it the third period? I think when it was right before Edmonton went up 4-3, Horvat had that great one-time opportunity, and I think he put it in the seventh row of the stands there. Yeah, I mean, it's first game of the year. I think the good news is they're getting chances. The bad news is they're not really getting good opportunities out of those chances. They have a good chance, and then it seems like it's a, you know, I don't want to say a bad shot on goal, but definitely not a good shot on goal. So, you know, process I think is okay, but there's definitely some red flags of things that need to clean up.
Sure, I'd agree with that. I was making some notes throughout the game here. So kind of my first thoughts, I think Pedersen looked really, really informed. So that was really awesome to see. I think obviously you saw the first goal there. It was a nifty little move, stealing the puck off Holloway there, I think it was, and then making a nice little move and following it up. And then a guy I want to talk about as well today, Andy, was Connor Garland. I think, you know, we had a lot of talk about this guy in the offseason about, you know, maybe he wasn't the right fit with this group. But I was a big fan of Garland's game tonight. I think he was mixing it up a lot, you know, mucking it up. He was really just kind of being a little shit disturber. If you're back on now, what'd you make of Garland's game as well?
I mean, I definitely agree. I feel like on that Horvat Podkolzin line there, I honestly thought he probably had the best night out of the three of them. I think Podkolzin started having his looks as the game went along there. Hayes, I know while we were watching the game there, you love that play where he drew the penalty, trying to take the puck to the net. But, you know, as for Garland, he just looked like a guy who was doing a great job on the forecheck. And that was something that, you know, obviously with his size and build, you know, people aren't really sure how effective can this guy be on his forecheck and playing physical. And I honestly think, you know, I think it's pretty obvious Connor Garland plays a loud game. He's not timid in that way. And I really enjoyed watching it. To be honest, though, I was going to ask you guys. I mean, like, Bo Horvat was probably the most disappointing Canuck for me tonight. I don't know if you guys would agree with that, or what were your thoughts on that?
Well, that actually leads to my next question. I was about to ask you guys most and least impressive performances tonight. So, who's you got most least impressive? Horvat, Andy, would you agree with that, or you got someone else you want to single out?
Yeah, I think it's all relative. My expectations for Tucker Pullman weren't very high, but man, he had a tough game. He got walked, I think, 4 or 5 times. I mean, a couple of them were by McDavid, so you kind of give him a pass, but he was probably my most disappointing. I did not think he had a strong game at all.
Push back a little bit on that. I thought Tucker Pullman, you know, I definitely agree. He had his moments. There was some signature Tucker Pullman stuff happening there. But at the same time, I felt like as the game went along, he started playing, you know, slightly better. And like you said, Andy, is definitely relative. I think another guy in the lower end of the lineup who maybe didn't play the best, Dakota Joshua, yeah, just invisible out there tonight. I mean, not physical. The only reason I remember him is because he got run over by Jack Campbell. So, like, I don't know if that's what you want your, you know, fourth line enforcer to be remembered for in a game like this.
Yeah, Joshua was probably the most least impressive guy for me as well. He was also the low minute man tonight and the low shift man as well. We can take a little bit of a step back here, guys. Or, sorry, next question. I actually had a question about the D pairings here as well. I know, obviously, the Canucks were missing Tyler Myers today. Stillman stepped in with Burrows on the third pair. What'd you guys make of the bottom pair of the Canucks? I know, obviously, I think this Edmonton team is a lot to handle. This game was a little odd in terms of that they put McDavid and Draisaitl on the same line relatively quickly because the Canucks kind of came storming out of the gate. But I still think Stillman and Burrows held their own reasonably well, and I think that I'm not as worried about the third pair as I was going into the night as I am right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, Stillman got here probably 3 days ago, 2 days ago. You know, I think there's a few mistakes he made where he just wasn't really sure where to go or where to be. But I think overall, you know, he looked like an NHL player, so that's a positive. I think Burrows had a, you know, relatively strong game. I think he was trying to be physical. He was trying to be engaged in the play. And the other line I like too is I thought Luke Shen had a fairly decent game. I don't think Quinn Hughes had his best game tonight, but I think Luke Shen was able to not cover up some of the mistakes, but, you know, kind of shift the focus away from some of the blunders that Quinn Hughes made.
Yeah, I mean, I like Shen's game. What'd you make of Shen?
Shen, I agree with Andy there as well. Just a solid game. I think that's what you want Luke Shen to play like. You know, obviously the Canucks do not have an ideal top four. You know, everyone knew that going into the season. But if that's the guy that's going to be playing with Quinn Hughes, if he can play like that consistently, that's exactly what this team needs right now. And, I mean, as for Stillman and Burrows, I also agree with, you know, I'm agreeing with Andy a lot today, but I also agreed there. I think Ryan Stillman, like Andy said, you know, he's only had like 2 practices with the team. You know, you can't expect that chemistry to just be there instantly, but I think he did a good job of trying to get engaged physically. you know, I think there's more to give there in terms of that. And one thing that surprised me, I thought he was a bit of a better skater than I was imagining. I thought he was, you know, he's kind of a big guy, profiles his physical. So, you know, those guys don't usually tend to be the best skaters. But in my opinion, you know, he kept his skating up to level. Obviously, there was the one play where he got just absolutely walked by Connor McDavid. So, I mean, that happens to the best of us, I guess. But, yeah, I was happy with that pair as well. Tucker Pullman's obviously the odd man out. And I think, honestly, if whenever Myers or Dermott comes back, whoever the first one is to come back, I think after a game like tonight, I think Burrows and Stillman both played better than him. So if Myers comes back, I'm pretty sure Pullman should be the guy slotting out.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably agree with that as well, Hussein. Next topic I kind of want to get into with you guys, I don't know, JT Miller tonight. This was kind of like a classic JT Miller game from last season to me. You know, he finishes the night with a goal and assist, like racking up some points, but his overall game to me was very, very kind of underwhelming, I guess, meh. Andy, I know you had a tweet in the middle of the game there saying that you know, Miller's, you know, newfound defensive responsibility at you know, was only there for about a couple periods before he we had some classic JT Miller turnovers. I mean, yet Boudreaux kind of insisted to seem to use him in a matchup role against McDavid and Draisaitl when he could get him out there. Really, in my opinion, I do not think Miller should be the guy tasked with this kind of role, and I don't really ever think he's going to profile as that kind of guy, but I don't really see why Boudreaux was kind of going to that well right away. I don't know what you guys thought of Miller, especially in his own zone.
Yeah, he had his moments. There was, you know, some times where it looked like he wasn't really giving a full effort, especially on the back check. I know there was the, I want to say it was a Draisaitl chance in the third period when it was tied, and you just see what's his name, Miller, sort of floating back, and Demko had to make a good save. So, you know, I agree with what you're saying. Like, he plays so many offensive minutes. He's so important offensively. I don't know if he's the matchup guy, because number one, I don't think he's built to handle it. And number two, I think it can kind of take away from his offensive game, or you get what happened tonight and he's so focused on offense, he doesn't really pick up the defensive responsibility as well as he should.
Quick stat here for you guys. Thomas Grant has tweeted this. I don't know if you guys have seen this already, but of Canucks centermen tonight in head-to-head ice time versus McDavid, in the shots for, shots against, Miller played 8 minutes and 46 seconds against McDavid. He had 4 shots for, 8 against him. That included the game-winning goal. Nils Amon played 5 minutes and 13 seconds against McDavid. No shots for, no shots against him. Pettersson played 3:45, and his line generated 5 shots for and only 1 against. Horvat played 2 minutes and 36 seconds. His line generated 2 shots for and only 1 against. So that would kind of lead me to believe that maybe Pettersson should be the guy matching up against a guy like McDavid, despite you know, the obvious speed difference between those two guys.
I'm not even sure if it's entirely the speed difference. Just you look at who he's, you know, on his winger set tonight. You know, he's got Kuzmenko's first actual game in the NHL, and Nils Höglander, a guy who, you know, there was concerns if this guy was even going to make the roster going into the training camp and preseason there. So, like, I kind of understand, you know, coaching wise, maybe why you're not deciding to put that line against, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl, obviously. Mm-hmm. When they loaded it up there. And, you know, as for the question you had there about the Miller effort, yeah, this was real classic Miller. I mean, on the fourth goal there that McDavid scores, you see him just kind of fly by, two-hand lumberjack, like, at his stick there. You'd like to see him really try to make a hard play, throw a hit. You know, honestly, hell, I'd even take a penalty to stop a game-winning goal in a situation like that. I think the only nice defensive play I'm recalling, I can't even remember who passed it across, but Miller came back and intercepted that pass on Draisaitl, then he went back the other way and took like a slap shot that almost went shelf. So, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Bo Horvat, I mean, that statistic surprised me a little bit, but I guess it explains a lot there. He played so little against McDavid. It's kind of hard to tell, but even then, I didn't think Bo Horvat had the best game in his own end as well. So it's a little, I feel like the Canucks just don't have a matchup line, if that makes sense.
I guess so. Excuse me, that kind of makes sense. But yeah, I mean, do you guys think by the end of the season we're going to see Pettersson kind of be the matchup guy over a guy like Miller?
I think he has to be if you want him to be the number one center. Like, I think of the NHL today, you can't be cushioning or hiding players. Like, I think of the best players in the league, and they all seem to go head-to-head against whoever. There's, you know, obviously you want to try to get a favorable matchup, but if you end up, you know, your best player against the McDavid line, you know, Anze Kopitar is not hiding from it, right? So
yeah,
I think they have to.
Yeah, no, no doubt. If you guys had to, I think we all agreed, you know, the power play was not good tonight, and there was a lot of things that went wrong. If you had to point at one issue, one thing, what was the main problem with the Canucks tonight? What was the reason that the Canucks lost?
To me, I think they got a little bit scared, rattled after the first power play goal where Quinn Hughes was very clearly high-stuck, is that a word, in the face and was bleeding all over the ice in his jersey. It seemed like the Oilers grabbed the momentum and the Canucks could never recover, because up until that point, it was pretty much complete domination.
A cop-out, but I say it on our podcast every time. I said it so many times last year. If you don't win the special teams battle in the NHL, you're not going to win the game. And I mean, it's not even about the power play going 1-for-8. I mean, like, the backbreaker was when they tied it 3-3, pardon me, and you're giving that up while you're on the power play. Edmonton scoring a shorthanded goal, a 3-on-1 with 40 seconds left in the period. That's just unacceptable. The special teams have to be better. 5-on-5, I mean, the Canucks were really carrying this game. I don't have the stats in front of me, but Hayes, I see you had them open earlier. I'm not sure if you would agree, or I'm not sure if Money Puck and other stats would even agree if the Canucks were carrying the game 5-on-5. But
yeah, they would. The deserved win-o-meter, if you go to Money Puck, was 61% for Vancouver in this game. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, yeah,
but 5-on-5, the team was there.
But, I mean, you look at the penalty kill as well, Hussein. Like, they were, you know, Edmonton scores to 2 times out of 3 power plays they had, and obviously one of them was a shortened one that ended right away.
Mm-hmm.
And their power play was pretty much automatic, and you know, you could argue that got them, like, that probably saved them from, you know, letting this game really, really slip away from them. The Canucks also gave up a shorthanded goal. Oh, thanks for chiming in. Are you still here? Yeah. I'm on producing duty tonight. That's okay.
Keeping it running smoothly.
It's always complicated when we got the space on as well, so thanks for that, Ace. Yeah, no, I was mentioning that obviously, you know, who's, like you said, it's not just the power play, it's the whole special teams kind of thing. Obviously, last year, the penalty kill totally sunk this team. Yes. And, you know, obviously, you know, was on pace to be historically bad before they kind of pulled themselves off the mat a bit. What did you guys make of the penalty kill tonight? Was it, I mean, it's hard to say it wasn't a problem when, you know, you get scored on 2 out of 3 times, but anything you guys saw in it that made you worry or feel okay about it? Where were you guys leaning in that one?
Yeah, I don't really have any say on it either way. I think, you know, the thing that they're clearly missing, I think, is Ilya Mikheyev and his speed, especially in a game like this. I think just the ability to, you know, force the Oilers or whoever they're playing to take an extra half step before they break out of their own end and, you know, attack a little bit more in the neutral zone, I think definitely would have made a difference, especially when you're facing McDavid and Draisaitl. So, you know, the Oilers probably have the best power play in the league. I don't think it's necessarily fair to judge the Canucks power play based on what they do versus Edmonton, because I think Edmonton's going to score multiple power play goals against pretty much every team in the league this year.
What'd you say? I mean, like, systematically speaking?
In the entire 18 seconds that they were on there for, I mean, it's hard. This is going to sound very count. This is not going to make sense, but, like, it's 18 seconds. It's kind of hard to judge the penalty kill, but at the same time, like you said off the bat there, it definitely was the reason they lost. I mean, in terms of the actual system there, I mean, I feel like they were leaving the bumper way too open. Like, the second one they scored, like, Draisaitl standing right in front of Nemco, and he's easily able to rip a pass cross. Or no, was it the Draisaitl score? Maybe I missed. No, McDavid scored. Yeah, McDavid scored. I had that, right? And, I mean, like, you see, like, Lazar is just caught way too up high, and then he's lying down trying to get to the middle there. I feel like, you know, me personally, I would like to see you congest the middle a little bit more there.
Okay, no, fair enough. Obviously, you know, power play had more opportunities, wasn't clicking quite right. Do you guys think that the power play, is there anything you change about the power play besides, you know, kind of getting that shot volume up? I mean, we were looking at the shots on goal. I don't think they were kind of actually generating enough looks on the power play. Would you guys maybe like to see Besser get back in the net front spot instead of a guy like Kuzmenko? Obviously, Besser was there, and the power play has had some success in previous iterations. Or are you guys still going to give Kuzmenko some runway and see if they can figure something else out? Or you guys think just it was, you know, a shitty luck tonight?
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem with the power play. Like you said, outside of them shooting the puck, maybe that'd be the only complaint. You know, in terms of everything else that they did, I think, you know, I actually like Kuzmenko in the net front there. His power play goal, I think, was actually very smart the way you know, didn't immediately sort of bust down the door to the front of the net and kind of found the soft spot and was able to sneak in behind. I think it was Brett Kulak who was able to sneak in behind. But yeah, I mean, obviously you want to score more than what they did when you have 8, 9, 10 chances. But overall, I didn't really have too much of an issue with the power play.
I would say for the most part, I would generally agree with that as well. You know, later in the game there, I don't know, like, I really wouldn't mind seeing Besser there. I felt like tonight, especially, like, the Canucks just couldn't get that bumper pass to Bo Horvat. Like, I honestly cannot recall a moment where they even tried it. Like, it really felt like this power play's trigger point today was, you know, get Pettersson that one-timer or let Miller shoot it off that half wall instead. Where, in reality, you know, I would honestly argue the most successful thing that Canucks power play does is get Bo Horvat open in the bumper there. You know, I'm not going to say sit here and tell you it's just because of Kuzmenko, but, you know, one thing's different from last year when that was working, and it's that Brock Besser wasn't down low. So, you know, it's obviously one game. I think Kuzmenko deserves a little bit more runway, especially after the preseason. I thought he played a solid game again tonight. But, you know, if that continues, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they switch to Brock Besser, you know, before they even come back home.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Hoos. I think the Canucks' bread and butter on the power play here is Horvat in that bumper spot, and it either works that pass from down low, or Miller off the half wall. I do feel like they were trying to force it to Pettersson a bit too much today, but he did have some good looks. But the problem, I always had this gripe with Pettersson on the power play, man. Like, shoot the puck, man. You have a great shot. He double clutches a lot. He holds onto it, maybe waiting for that perfect look. Hey, sometimes you're not going to get the perfect look, and just tee it up and see what happens. And at least it'll spread the ice and make a bit more of a threat, because I honestly felt like later on in the game it was Hughes and whoever just firing muffins from up top with literally no traffic in front of the net. And if you're gonna be shooting like that, you gotta be getting some bodies in front. That was the thing. I loved Kuzmenko's game tonight, don't get me wrong. I was a lot to like about him, but there was times when he was standing in front of the net where I kind of felt like he was kind of fluttering out of the way as the shot came and trying to maybe whack at it with a stick instead of trying to take the goalie's eyes away more. I'm not sure if that's a KHL, NHL thing, or, you know, ice is bigger down there and he's looking for more tips and stuff and not really crashing the net as much. I'm not really sure. I would like to see if it's not working, if you can't get the shot, the pass to Horvat in the slot, and if, you know, Pettersson's one-timer is not clicking that night, I would love to see, you know, a lot more just crafting in front of the net and trying to get a greasy one in, especially if that point shot is coming from Hughes, who we all know doesn't really have a huge threat of a shot from up at the point.
I think the worst thing is when Quinn Hughes shoots it, especially, the worst thing is, I mean, like, he shoots it so lightly, but he's always going for, like, the glove or, like, blocker. Like, keep it on the ground. If you're not going to shoot it hard and you're not shooting to score, just put it on a pad so, like, a guy, like you said, Kuzmenko, you know, maybe he's not screening right away, but if it goes off a pad and there's a big rebound, him or Horvat or, you know, even Miller or Pettersson coming off the half wall there, like, make it bounce, you know? Like, you're just letting it hit Campbell. He'll take that all day. They're happy to have a face-off on a penalty kill. Get the break, get the line changed. So, I mean, that's one thing I would add in as well.
Okay, thanks. I'm gonna play a game with you guys here. I don't know if you guys have seen this already, but for total Corsi 4 percentage, which is just like basically your shot attempts scene. 4 versus shot attempts against you while you're on the ice. You guys want to guess top 3 to top 5 for the Canucks, like most, like the best percentage?
You know, 5.
You okay, let's go top 5. You guys, you and Andy can guess. Who do you guys think was any of the top 5? You get anyone in the top 5, I'll tell you where they were.
First one's probably obviously Pettersson's probably on there, right?
Pettersson is on there. He's number 4. He had this is only 5-on-5. So 11-10 of 5-on-5 ice time, 15-4-7 against. So that's 68%.
I feel like
I would say Pod Colson.
No, Pod Colson not in the top 5.
I like that. Yes, I was gonna say maybe give me Kuzmenko. I feel like it might be a little out there, but he's on the.
Kuzmenko is number 1, 80.95%, 17-4-4 against.
Oh, nice night at the office.
A couple of these guys, I think you guys, the next three here are going to be a little surprising.
Yeah, I'm going to just try Hoglander because he was also on that
Hoglander
line.
Hoglander number 2. Hoglander number 2. 17-4-6 against for 73%.
So was Pettersson 3 on this?
Pettersson was 4th.
Okay.
So you got 3, Hoglander was 2. I said Kuzmenko was 1, so you're missing 3 and 5.
Okay.
Where was Tanner Pearson?
Tanner Pearson was not in the top 7. Tanner Pearson, not a great night at the office, Andy.
No, I didn't mean to guess him, but yeah, I was thinking like
he was 1, 2, 3, 4th last.
Yeah, because he played with Miller most of the night, right?
Yeah, I
thought they really struggled at 5-on-5.
5th on the bottom. Brock Besser was 6th on the bottom, so yes.
Besser Yeah. Pearson line does not get anything.
Andy's favorite player is a guest for the third spot on the most impressive.
Jason Dickinson plays here still.
Is it Connor Garland?
It's Tucker Poolman.
Oh, Tucker Poolman.
22-4, 10 against only. And another guy who's received a lot of criticism, number 5, was Bo Horvat, 14-4, 11 against. Kyle Burrows and Oliver Melson also had pretty positive nights. They were 6th and 7th on this list.
Well, Andy mentioned on Quinn Hughes not playing too well. Was he...
And if you guys want to, I'll give you bottom 5 now. So bottom 5, you haven't gotten anyone yet. Pearson was just on the outside. He was 6th.
It's probably a defenseman. You said Pullman was there. I'm going to say maybe like Riley Stillman is down there maybe.
Riley Stillman is 5th from the bottom.
Dakota Joshua.
He is dead last. Yeah. 1-4, yeah. 8 against, still 11%. He's dead last by quite a margin.
Neil Zaman?
Yeah. 4-12, 25%.
Lazar is probably down there then too, right?
No Lazar.
Oh, really? Okay.
Couple of premier players in the Canucks here.
Is it Quinn Hughes down here?
Yeah, Hughes. 10-18, 35%. And then JT Miller, 7-12, 36%.
Everyone's favorite defensive player.
Yeah.
Shut down.
So, it was a bit of a mixed bag, I'd say, in terms of some of your top players having some okay nights, some of your overall impact-wise, not everybody doing everything out there. Going forward, next game, what's the biggest takeaway? Not takeaway. What are you guys looking for versus Philadelphia going forward now?
Yeah, I think it's Kuzmenko again. I think, you know, he did a lot of good things. I think there was also, you know, a few smaller details where he looked like he was kind of caught out of position or was just half a step too late. I'd like to see him, you know, continue with a strong game with the offense, but also try to clean up some of those other mistakes as well.
Sorry, Kuzmenko, you're key for the game going forward. Who's what about you? What are you looking for the Canucks going to Philadelphia in a couple days?
If I got to put a specific player, I can't believe I'm saying this about an NHL player. Full 60 minutes from JT Miller. Let's get that out of the way. Team-wise, let's, you know, score on the power play. If the opportunities are presenting itself, you can't have another night where you're going 1-7, 1-8, 1-9. That's not acceptable. Win the special teams battle for sure moving forward on this next game here.
Yeah, mine's going to kind of be... My key, I guess, going forward is going to be like the defense in general. The 6 guys got back there. I'm not sure how long before Myers gets back. And even if he does, it's obviously this is still not a banner defense. I think they had their moments of, you know, hey, they look all right. But they also did have their moments of, wow, we're completely overwhelmed. So I would like to see how they can hold up. I think the Canucks have a lot of great forwards and they have some offensive punch. You saw them come flying out of the gate in the first period. So you know they have somewhat of that ability. It's going to be how can they find that gear to stay in a consistent area, and if the defense can keep the puck moving forward in a simple way and getting the puck in the hands of the forwards without doing that, you know, little flip-up that they like to do and have the forwards just skate onto it and spend a lot of energy forechecking. I want to see if they can hit some guys with passes in stride and see if they can hold up. We did not do our most impressive Canucks, so we'll do that to wrap up here. I think we're coming in about half an hour here. We'd like to keep this podcast digestible as well, so it'll be up as soon as we're done recording here, and you can consume it on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Andy, who was your most impressive Canuck this evening?
I think it was Elias Pettersson was easily the most visible and the most impressive tonight.
Difference. I'm not going to say EP40 as well, even though that's probably going to be a round table thing, but relatively, give me Curtis Lazar. Really liked his game in fourth line here. He's played a lot better than I even expected when they first made this signing.
Yep. For me, I liked a lot about Colton's game. Didn't get on the score sheet, but made a lot of great passes to Horvat. Horvat probably should have had a couple of goals with the amount of passes Pod Colton was feeding him. He also drew a great penalty driving in the net. Pod Colton was mine. I would have said Pettersson as well, but like I said, who said didn't want to be the same, all the same answer here. So give me Pod Colton. Ace, did you want to give one for before you get out of here?
I'll say Kuzmenko.
Good back. All right, right on. All right, I think that's all we got. Like I said, this post-game edition, we'll try to keep them around 30 minutes, 35 minutes. And yeah, it'll be pretty much up as soon as the game is over as well. So thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you guys all after the Philly game.
Vancouver selects from the University of Michigan, Quinn Hughes.
From Timrå, Elias Pettersson.
From Waterloo of the USHL, Brock Besser.
From the London Knights of the Canadian Hockey League, Bo Horvat.
To the Tampa Bay Lightning, in exchange for
JT Miller.
And Thatcher Demko with an amazing 43-save performance says, let's play game six.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make some noise and welcome the 14th captain of your Vancouver Canucks.